This is GKW. Welcome to another edition of Good Karma Wrestling. I'm Gabe Neitzel from ESPN Milwaukee. With me as well tonight from ESPN 1000 in Chicago, he is Jonathan Hood. And where we begin the show tonight, Hood, is something that we've been talking about here in Milwaukee this morning, ever since this news broke. But of course, is going to have some professional wrestling connections to it as well, as WWE Hall of Famer Bob Uecker, the longtime voice of the Milwaukee Brewers for 54 seasons, passed away at the age of 90 earlier today. In a statement released by his family, they said that he had been privately been going through a battle with lung cancer that ultimately claimed Bob's life earlier this morning. But he was a special ring announcer, WrestleMania 3, at WrestleMania 4, had the very famous interaction with Andre the Giant in doing the interview, where he tells Andre, as Andre has his hand on Bob's shoulder, "Hey, how about you get your foot off my shoulder?" And then, of course, it's Bob Uecker in a very famous image. So, he a guy who was beloved by all, transcended Brewers baseball, made his way into so many different things, including the world of WWE, and he was eventually inducted into the celebrity wing of the WWE Hall of Fame in 2010.
So I know that the city of Milwaukee is mourning Bob Uecker, but he wasn't just Milwaukee's. He was all of us. And the reason for that is, as a young baseball fan, the first games in my connection to Milwaukee will always be this. My first spring training game was always the Brewers. For whatever reason, it would come in easily on 6:20. I'm hearing Bob on, at spring training, and I'm hearing him, it's a spring training baseball, the Milwaukee Brewers. And just, he's doing the game solo, of course. And I think that the reason why that I will always appreciate Bob is because he's one of the biggest personalities that baseball has ever had. And so even though he means a lot to Milwaukee, he means a lot to a lot of people. This guy here was on Miller Lite commercials, and he did TV shows and movies, and a frequent guest on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. If the Brewers are in New York,
100 times.
If the Brewers are in New York, Bob was going to be on that couch, one of the great jokes, as he sat there on the couch and Johnny said, "Bob, tell us one of your career highlights." And of course, the joke is that Bob was not a very good baseball player, but he enjoyed telling those stories. He said, "Well, my career highlights is that, I was in Philadelphia and a fan fell out of the stands from the upper deck. And I also ran out of rundown in Atlanta." Just the way, just his sardonic humor of just talking about what tragedy versus success, as a baseball player. But the quick wit and the national acclaim for Bob Uecker, yes, means a lot to the city of Milwaukee as a longtime voice, doing it solo for many years and bringing in partners. And so many of the partners that he did work with went on to greatness and going on to get other gigs. So Bob will always be remembered, not just for Milwaukee, but for wrestling fans and people that enjoyed his comedy and his personality.
Yeah, I know. I mean, Triple H, among those in the professional wrestling world, tweeting out after the announcement was made this morning. But, like you said, I mean, he transcended so many different things. He had a very strong relationship with Bob Costas. Al Michaels has great stories. But again, it transcends even into the comedy world, when everybody in that time frame was looking for that kind of nod of approval in the comedy world from Johnny Carson. Bob Uecker had it. Bob Uecker had that from Johnny Carson. And then he struck up with, great relationships with comedians like Norm MacDonald, who is no longer with us as well. But that's Norm telling a bunch of Bob Uecker stories. I've seen those all over my social media timelines today. But somebody who, and he did love, he enjoyed professional wrestling. He would still go to shows from time to time when WWE would be in town in Milwaukee. And he is going to be sorely missed. Like you said, not just by the city of Milwaukee, but baseball fans and just entertainment fans all around the world.
He was something, man. He'd still come up when he was on the road to White Sox games, because his good friend Hawk Harrelson was doing games as well. Mm-hmm. And Bob would leave the radio booth and come to the Sox TV booth just to tell old stories, because Hawk and Bob knew each other for so many years. So I just thought that it was appropriate to be able to give a WWE Hall of Famer his flowers because he deserves top billing. Bob was great, and he'll always be remembered.
Yeah, Bob Uecker passing away at the age of 90. But we do have other business we need to get to here on GKW today in the world of professional wrestling. And where we begin today is with the debut of WWE's newest star, and that, of course, is somebody we're all familiar with. As Penta made his debut in WWE, not only did he end up having his matches against Chad Gable, also got a segment where he was able to cut a promo. So the question is, Hoodie, what is the ceiling for Penta in WWE?
Well, I think that this guy could be a United States or Intercontinental champion, Gabe. I just think that he has that kind of acclaim. Like, you know, he and his brother are a great act, but you know that Penta himself is a tremendous wrestler, and he showed that against Chad Gable. Honest to goodness, that match was better than I thought it was going to be, because that easily could have been, here's the debut of Penta, it's a squash, 5 minutes. But in this Netflix era, it ended up being a match that we're going to remember in 2025. We got to bookmark that, because Penta comes in and, you know, it's a struggle back and forth between Gable. Shows you how strong Gable is. But just look how I want to give Gable his flowers too, because Gable has wrestled Penta before, as far as you and I are able to wrestle Penta. And then I thought really an IC or a point.
Yeah, so I guess that's the question. What do we hold? What do we think is higher? Is it that middle tier, that mid card title, either IC or US title or tag team championships? Because once his brother gets there, like him and Rey Fénix, which again we're all assuming Rey Fénix eventually ends up in WWE. Like I could easily see them having a long run as tag team champions, but. Mm-hmm. That's the one thing with Penta. Like Penta has, I mean, he's had a long run at different times as a singles performer. Like that was the big match for Chris Jericho when Jericho first wrestled outside of WWE. He did a New Japan, and then I mean, Penta had a match at All In Chicago, the first ever. All Out in Chicago. Where, you know, it was the indie show at that point. AEW wasn't even a thing, and then Jericho shows up to promote the match with Penta that he has coming up for New Japan. So that was, I mean, Penta had a long run in New Japan, didn't really have that singles run in AEW. Everything was either trios or tag team for the most part, a couple of singles matches here and there. But he can certainly be a mid-card champion. I don't see him ever elevating at this point in his career because he is a little bit older. I don't see him elevating ever to WWE or World Heavyweight Championship. Like I don't think he's ever going to achieve that in WWE. But I am curious what happens here. Like I don't know where he goes in WWE. I'm excited for it. Well, I'm hoping that Hunter has a plan for him. But just take a look at somebody else who recently left AEW and came to WWE. What have we seen out of Andrade? I mean, he's wrestled Melo about 1,000 times over on SmackDown, but that's about it. You know, they haven't had a real direction for him over on SmackDown. So I'm hoping that doesn't happen to Penta. But I don't know if they're going to have him tread water waiting for who knows when Rey Fénix is going to be able to come. I don't know what truly the plan is for Penta. Although they gave him a huge debut and a huge opportunity on Netflix on Monday.
Yeah, I think Intercontinental Championship or U.S. Championship is proper for Penta. Look, here's the thing you're going to know. You're going to have great matches from Penta. But the thing is that the charisma that we've seen from him in AEW, it transfers to WWE. And by the way, the WWE didn't hide it. Did you notice that before the match that day that the merch was already out on WWE.com? It was all of the merchandise is already out. Now, let me tell you something. If this is AEW, we would be killing AEW for putting the cart before the horse, putting the merch out before the wrestler actually arrives. But WWE says, okay, we're going to let people know. You may not know who Penta is, but here's his merchandise. And when you see him, you're going to want to buy this. But I thought that that was interesting.
I thought that was a good idea.
When he came down to the ring.
Yeah, I thought that was a good idea, Hood, with because Penta is known worldwide, but also like some WWE fans were completely unaware of like CM Punk's issues within AEW, right? Like a lot of WWE fans don't necessarily know what's going on in AEW. So Penta is a special talent, but maybe you don't know who he is because you don't follow New Japan Pro Wrestling. You don't follow AEW. So to get out in front of it, say in the Netflix debut, hey, Penta's coming next week. And then you build that up. Then if you don't know who Penta is, like maybe you saw Penta, you're like, oh, okay, that looks kind of cool. Or maybe I'll look up Penta and you just Google him. And then you can watch matches or you can read up on him. You can do all these different things. And then when he makes his debut, it ends up being this big thing.
Yeah, I just love his charisma coming down to the ring. You know, again, taking his time, pulling the gloves off. I just love that. And then the promo afterwards as he speaks in English and Spanish. I mean, in one night, he got himself over tremendously. Of course, WWE didn't like the length of that promo. Thought it was a little long. Had to shorten some matches along the way. But it's the Netflix era. Anybody can do whatever you'd like.
Well, so that's what I found was interesting, is that, like, it is the Netflix era. You don't have a hard out time, but they decided, the rumor was that, okay, well, before the show, they have it written out, and they have an idea of when the show should stop, and they want to stay true to that. But, like, nobody knows what that is. Like, it's not like you're publicizing. It's not like when I go onto Netflix that night on Monday, I sit down, it's like, oh, hey, this thing is going to be ending at 10 p.m. Central Time or 9:30 p.m. Central Time like it did this past Monday. I don't know that. Like, you could have easily fit in everything you still wanted to do, but I guess they want to have some dark matches and whatever they want to do. So that's interesting to me, but it is what it is.
Were you looking at your watch at 9:30 said, oh, well, good night.
Well, but here's the thing, like with the Netflix era, I actually kind of like that it's just going to be floating and I don't really know.
Sure. Yeah.
Because when you have main event matches, because how many times have we talked about that on the show, Hood, where we're like, there's not really a lot of time for this main event match. Okay. Or like you're looking at your watch going, all right, well, he can't kick out again here because, well, we're hard running up on that hard out that we've got at the top of the hour. You don't have that at Netflix. I think for main events, it can keep some of that suspense alive and make the matches even better.
So let's look at it from this standpoint about Penta. So as much as people respect Rey Mysterio, we know that he is chief luchador. He's number one. But you know that the end is coming at some point, man. Like, and by the way, it doesn't mean that he's slowing down at all. He still is very popular. He still can get it done in the ring. But at some point, Gabe, you have to start winding down Rey Mysterio, where it's like, Rey, I don't know if you're going to have a final match with your son. I don't know if your son will be a baby face so you guys can team together before you retire. I don't know what it is. But you know that the WWE needs to be able to have more Latino superstars. It's important because of how they travel, the places that they go. So Penta, I think, is one of the key cogs in trying to find quality Latino superstars that he can put into the machine. You mentioned about Andrade, and you're right. Andrade can go, but there's a ceiling to his success. Maybe Penta could be able to get over that and get over the hump there in WWE, because you know after Rey, you're going to need some guys. And maybe it's Dom, but I think it's going to have to be a lot more, I think, moving forward in 2025.
Oh, yeah. And again, I think Penta can certainly be that guy. He can stand on his own two feet as a singles performer, without a doubt. And I hope that they have some sort of plan for him. But again, I worry that with all these other things going on, throwing him suddenly into this mix, like, because we're going to dive into how many guys can win the Royal Rumble coming up shortly. And like all the big names are in the Royal Rumble already. Like, they've declared there's no mystery of who's going to be in, who's going to be out. Like, they have so many other big things going on. I think it's easy to get lost in the shuffle. And that's, you know, again, this is more of a news and notes thing, but I'll bring it up right now as well. Like, they're talking, you know, Malakai Black is done in AEW and his contract's going to be wrapping up soon. There's some drama around that, but by all reports seem like it's going to be wrapping up soon. And Hunter views, you know, Malakai Black as this, oh man, he is a big superstar. And he'll make his debut in WWE and, oh man, how do you let this guy go if you're AEW? And then I can see Malakai Black getting lost in the shuffle just like he did the previous time. Like, there's a reason some of these guys went from WWE to AEW to begin with. And as much as I like Malakai, like, I just don't see him necessarily fitting into what's going on in WWE. And as much as I like Penta, as much as I like some of these other guys that are making the jump from AEW to WWE, not everybody can do that. It's already a pretty stacked roster in WWE on Raw and SmackDown. There's only so much TV time for everybody to go around.
Well, someone's got to fill the bill on WWE speed.
Well, it's not Corey Graves.
Well, that also part of news and notes. Absolutely. Alex Acevedo says that Penta deserves it. He says, I've been watching him live at 115 Bourbon Street. That is it is a bar, but also a place where you can watch wrestling and concerts, 115 Bourbon Street in Marionette Park, Illinois. For 9 years, he said 9 years ago against his brother, and what a great performer. Yeah, in AEW, I mean, and you've seen them perform live, they usually get some of the biggest pops, if not the biggest pop, when they both came down. They play the music, and you get the Mexican flags out, and people respect those two because you know they're going to get a great show.
Oh. I think the best match I've seen live and in person might be their cage match in Chicago in 2021 against the Young Bucks. Mm. Like, that might have been the best match. If it's not the best, it's towards the top. Like, those two, and again, the problem with Ray, I've been a bigger Ray fan than I have Penta. Like, I've made the case that Ray's the best wrestler in the world. The problem with Ray Phoenix is he just can't stay healthy. The guy does crazy things in the ring, like stuff you've never seen before, and then he gets hurt doing it. So there's a reason maybe why he's the only one trying some of this stuff.
Yeah.
But if Ray can be healthy for any run, like the charisma that those two have, like, I don't even think you need anyone like they had Alex Abrahantes in AEW, just kind of as the hype guy. Yeah. I mean, every once in a while you do a backstage promo for those two, but those two rarely needed a promo just because you could feel, you know, it's kind of similar as, you know, like Asuka. Like, Asuka doesn't need to speak English. Like, her body language or the way she can perform, even though she can speak English, like, she's gotten herself over just by speaking Japanese. Same thing with Shinsuke Nakamura, with a lot of the things that they've done for him, where he's been this dark, this deep heel speaking in Japanese. Yes, Penta can certainly speak English, as he showed. He's more comfortable speaking Spanish. He doesn't need to be cutting these lengthy promos because you can just tell by his body language what kind of star he is.
I think that is the longest that he's been on the mic speaking English on a major stage, because that didn't, like you mentioned, Alex was the guy that did a lot of speaking for that tag team. And so it wasn't shocking to me because I understood he spoke English, but that only helps his cause. It only helps his cause even more so because he was just a Spanish speaking wrestler in AEW and not held down. It's just that he didn't have promo time. And now he said, I got the mic. I got the mic.
I'm not giving it up.
I'm talking for 10 minutes. Wait a minute. You can't do that.
It's my time to shine.
God bless him, man.
He was fantastic.
Yeah. So,
all right. We move on to the three count, the other top three stories in the world of professional wrestling. And we head to the former employer of Penta. Kind of a slog right now over in AEW. Hood, yes, there are some good things. Like, I will not say that everything is bad because I am immensely enjoying what I am seeing out of Toni Storm. Most of the things they're doing right now, actually in the women's division, I enjoy. Whether that's Hot Girl Graps from Collision on Saturday night, which was hilarious with Harley Cameron.
Yes.
Going up against Mariah May. The story that they've got with Toni Storm. Mercedes Moné starting to come into her own in AEW as well. Like, I think a lot of those things are working. On the men's side, though, it feels a little bit more sluggish. What's the biggest issue that you would fix right now in AEW?
I just think it's continuity. And first of all, the overarching point of all of this is continue to realize that you are a challenger brand, that you're not against anybody. You're not really against WWE head to head. You have to be able to battle your own inner demons as a company and get better. I think that a best step forward is on Wednesday night in Cincinnati. People were shitting on AEW and they saw WrestleTix and said, oh, they only drew 1,500 people. Yeah, but it was a sellout though. And I think that this has to be...
That was a cool arena, by the way.
It was.
I love the way that was set up.
AEW does a great job with the unique venue. They did this in Dallas. They've done this in a couple of places. Obviously, you know, in Jacksonville, where they are, Daly's Place is a very unique venue. Mm-hmm. But but just a quick history lesson about the business. This will be very brief. Smaller venues have always been the thing for TV for a long time before the Monday Night Wars. the Monday Night Wars, you got WCW, you got WWF, and they're trying to be in all of the big buildings because they're going head-to-head because they're hot-shotting. They're going to be in 20,000-seat buildings, 17,000-seat buildings. But before the Monday Night Wars, TV was just set up so you can get people to come to the house shows or set up the pay-per-views. It didn't matter how big the crowd was. Now, the key is for AEW, Gabe, is that I don't mind you being in a 1,500-seat arena. It's cool. It gets loud. Just fill the seats. That's all. Doesn't matter. I mean, 500 people. Doesn't matter. Just fill them. That's all. And so that's what it comes down to me. So it's about continuity and also understanding. Like, here's a big thing, and let me be the first to bring it up on the show. Continuity, right? So you can only use this card once, and that is the veteran card. How do you get a young talent over or someone you want to get over? Use a veteran in the back. Jeff Jarrett against MJF is a head scratcher to me because it's like Jeff Jarrett. So the whole story is Jeff is going to have one more year in AEW. So you take on MJF. So when MJF beats Jeff Jarrett, that doesn't elevate MJF. He's already over. But you did it not once, but twice in the same cycle. Why is Christopher Daniels taking on Hangman Page? Why is he doing that? I respect CD. I spent a lot of money in the indies in an ROH watching Christopher Daniels. But if you're going to do that card once, and we've seen it for years, Gabe, use a veteran to get someone over. Why do it twice on the same show with CD and Hangman Page? See what I mean about continuity? Those are the things they got to work through, I think.
I think they need to have the courage to see some of this stuff through. I don't know what the hell happened with the Death Riders. It had so much potential. And now they're in a 12-man bleeping tag match with Chris Jericho. Like, Chris Jericho is the exact thing that you were trailblazing against when this whole thing started. And now you're tagging with him? Like, it's just so lazy, man. Like, yeah, okay. It's three heels and the other three heels. And now they're going up against six baby faces. Like, no, man. Like, that was... The Death Riders were supposed to transcend that, and yeah. You had the opportunity. They don't have anything that's super hot or over right now. Like, I think, again, Tony's got still a lot of potential. They need to give it still more time. But on the men's side of things, like, this story had all the potential in the world. But it also, when you talk about continuity, when the one thing with WWE that I think Hunter's done the best, and I've mentioned this before, I think he's really good at connecting everything. Like, everything's connected in the WWE. It's not like, oh, we've got this thing over here and this thing over here and this thing over here and this thing over here. They don't really interact with each other. I mean, it gets messy. They start blurring lines. Like, we saw, and I know Broich wasn't happy about it, but the fact that, like, because Sami Zayn was walking into Adam Pearce's office on Monday night as Karrion Kross and Miz are standing there, like, oh, so now there's Bloodline mixing in with whatever the name of their faction is. But nothing like in AEW, those things would be like completely separated and never be allowed to touch. And when you're trying to do a story like you tried to do with the Death Riders of, hey, this place needs to change. This place used to stand for something. Like, you can't put that in the corner. It has to have a through line throughout the entire show. And too many things are segmented. And then when you try to cross them over, it doesn't make a ton of sense. The way that they're doing this 12-man tag thing with the Death Riders and the Jericho thing. And it's just so disappointing. I think because so many things that they've done have had so much potential and then they just don't see them through, or it starts to get too muddled and it tunes people out. And I think that's the biggest issue. Like, you had opportunities, I think, with the BCC, and maybe that one fell apart because Regal decided to go back to WWE, and it ended up not being as strong as you wanted it to be. Mm-hmm. Or with the Death Rider thing here, that had so much potential. They don't see things through, and it's really disappointing for me.
No, you're right. You're 100% right. You cannot get over as a company and last for a long time unless your stories and your rosters are right. That's what it comes down to. It comes down to your stories. It comes down to your digital footprint and your YouTube. You know, the one thing about AEW is that they've got their max deal, so they're not going to close the doors anytime soon. They're fine. They got TV, and they've got a big roster of wrestlers. But the bottom line is, if you want to be able to, you know, expand what you already have as a company, get more people under the tent, you have to be able to have stories. Some of the things that's great but also frustrating about watching movies with my wife is that she could see the loophole coming before I could see it. Like she okay. like I like a quiet room when we're watching a movie. We don't need to sure. have a conversation about every little thing. I've taught her that over the years. But the thing is, Gabe, is that she will point something out and go, what about this? And what about this? And I'm like, you know what? You're right. I said, you should be like, after a movie, when they go through all the credits, you should be the continuity director of a movie and say, wait, I see what we have out here, but we got to fill in this gap before we can put the movie out for public consumption. So she's always right about that because she sees it before I see it. Same thing with AEW. AEW's got a talented roster, and I love a lot of the things that they've done. You mentioned the women. I think they have that right. I think that the stars, they've got plenty of them, but just you see some of these guys, and they're just getting mauled, like Brian Cage in that first match. And bring in someone that's never saw wrestling before, sit him on the couch and say, who do you think the world champion is? The guy with the muscles? Nope, he's going to lose. Right?
Powerhouse Hobbs? Nah, he's taking the pin too. Sorry,
yeah.
pal.
Yeah. I mean, there's always going to be things that are good and bad about every wrestling show we watch. But AEW, on the positive end, production's better, telling more stories, love the vignettes. I think they're doing a better job of trying to bring more people into the tent. But then the bell rings in some of these matches, and it's kind of like, hey, man, if I see him for a week, do you mean I'm not going to see him for another month? You can't book your wrestling like UFC and boxing. I know he wants to and have super bouts, but this ain't All Japan, pal. This is AEW.
Yeah, it's just so disappointing the way a lot of that stuff just kind of ends up working out. And yeah, I like to the point where I can't wait for Mox to drop the title. Like, I hope he drops it to, like, I can't wait for it. Like, I'm done with the story. Like, I'm just completely done with it.
Like, but you're a Mox guy. Wow.
I am a Mox guy. I love Mox. I'm done with the story. They killed it. Like, the second on Collision that they all ran out and decided, yeah, we're going to team with, all right, this thing is actually no potential. They're not going to save it because they're just going to pair up with anybody who's anybody. Like, if you want people to be working for something, like, Jericho's not it, man. Like, that's not... Like, Jericho's not the one who's it just doesn't make any sense. And like you said, the continuity of the whole thing just doesn't really make a lot of sense. You've got so many young talent. You've got so much other talent you could be elevating on that roster. Like you said, and still we're getting Christopher Daniels. We're getting Jeff Jarrett. And here's the thing. Like, if they would have gone the other way with Jarrett and had him team up with MJF, okay, yeah, maybe I'm intrigued. But, like, Jeff Jarrett versus MJF in the year of our Lord 2025? Like, that doesn't do anything for me.
Like, I appreciate the carny that is Jeff Jarrett, but that was a struggle in that promo.
That was a bad promo.
He has never cut. He says that he was MJF. Brother, I saw you in WWF and WCW and USWA and Memphis and all the places that he's been. New Japan. Gabe? He never did promos like that outside of the kind of work shoot thing of, hey, Vince McMahon, I came from WCW and now I'm back in WWF and now you got to pay me. Outside of that, he's never cut anyone up like that. He had to really stretch to use swear words because I know he's a Christian now. He had to really stretch to try to even come in the same stratosphere as MJF. And I'm like, and MJF's just standing in the corner just watching. And I said, oh boy, this is a struggle for the veteran. It really is.
Like, yeah, I just don't know what does that do for anybody? Like, it makes Jarrett look worse. Like, it drags MJF down. Like, that's your longest reigning champion of all time. Like, he doesn't need, what kind of rub is Jeff Jarrett offering in 2025 anyway?
Well, right. That's why it doesn't make sense. Now, CD, like Christopher Daniels, it'll be a fine match, but I know Christopher Daniels has slowed down and really part-time wrestler. Hangman Page is on the ascend. Why does he need to take on Christopher Daniels? Why do you need that pit stop? So I mean, outside of the good that we see from a lot of the wrestlers and especially the women's division, there's always this slop too. And that's why they've got to make it connect somehow for 2025. And again, it's not about beating WWE. You're not doing that. But you just have to be aesthetically pleasing for your fans to grow your base because you're on Big Boy Max now. You're not doing super bouts. It's got to be stories that people can follow every week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, Max can be huge for them. because you're just flipping around like, oh, I need to catch up on whatever, you know, House of Dragon. Oh, yeah. Oh, there's a wrestling show. Oh, let's just check that out. Maybe we check that. And having the accessibility of being on an app like that can be huge, especially if they start to get the product right and maybe get it back to where they were, you know, pre-pandemic and right around the pandemic coming out of it as well.
Yeah.
We move on because, as I mentioned before, everybody, have you declared for the Rumble yet?
I have not.
Did I miss that? Okay. All right. You haven't. Okay. Maybe Hood will declare for the Royal Rumble later the show. I don't know. But we have had, John Cena declare for the Royal Rumble. We have had Roman Reigns declare. Well, he didn't declare, Paul Heyman declared for him, but Roman Reigns declaring for the Royal Rumble. We had CM Punk declare for the Royal Rumble. We had Seth Rollins declare for the Royal Rumble. We had Drew McIntyre declare for the Royal Rumble. That is some massive star power, Hoodie, that is going to be represented in the Royal Rumble, which is still just a couple of weeks away in Indianapolis on February 1st. So how many guys can you make a case to win the Royal Rumble right now?
All right. So I think you named them all because this will be quick. 2, 4, 5, at least 6 people could win the Royal Rumble. And they're big names, bigger names than we've had in the past, actually. Think about it. Roman Reigns is going to be in the Royal Rumble. And there is a possibility. You have 3 choices when it comes to Cody Rhodes. Do you want to see Cody Roman 3? Do you want to see Cody Rock? Or do you want to see Cody against CM Punk? So there's some choices there. And I just think Roman Reigns being in there, man, I think that I can make a case for him winning the Royal Rumble. But then you think about the CM Punk favor. Does CM Punk step in front of Roman Reigns if he wins the Rumble? I don't know. It gets kind of murky in some points, doesn't it?
Well, it does because – so when I start thinking about WrestleMania, I think what is the biggest match that they can put on? And – the biggest match that they could put on, Rock squashed by giving Cody Rhodes his flowers on the opening Netflix. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we're going to see that. And I honestly do not believe we're going to see Rock at WrestleMania this year. Just doesn't really seem like it the way that, you know, he showed up for that Raw Netflix, the way he showed up for the CW. It just doesn't look like WrestleMania is going to work out in his plans. So honestly, the next biggest match they can do is Roman versus Punk. And Roman versus Punk only makes sense if it's for a championship.
Correct.
Because those two just fighting for not a championship doesn't make sense for either of their characters. So this is the inner debate that I'm having. Like, is there any way that Cody drops the belt before Mania? Probably not. But it also doesn't make sense for anybody to win the Royal Rumble and not call out anybody but Cody Rhodes. So I don't know where I'm at. I mean, a number of these guys can win. But I don't think we get Roman Cody 3. I don't think we do that for a third year in a row. Like, maybe we get 3 sometime other time down the road. I don't know if we want to do it for a third year in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean it's going to be Cena? Because Cody Cena's been rumored, and that's the – I don't know if I'm thrilled about Cena winning the Royal Rumble, although I think Hunter might be able to tell a compelling story of, well – it's still been how many ever days since Cena's won a one-on-one match? Yeah, he won the Royal Rumble, can throw guys over the top rope, but can he beat somebody and pin their shoulders down to the mat 1, 2, 3? Maybe that's something you can do on the road to WrestleMania. But right now I'm kind of leaning towards Cena just because I think that makes the most sense for Cody, and I don't think Cody's going to drop the belt before Mania.
Well, then if Cena's going to lose to Cody, then we can wrap up his story in April. Give him his rocking chair, give him the Jeter retirement, and so long, everybody, because you don't need all of 2025. But here's the thing. I think he will have a title match. It just won't be at WrestleMania. I don't know, because here's the thing. As much as I would love to see Cena and Cody, think about that promo battle, right? Think about it. When Cody is inspired, boy, he brings up the memories of Dusty Rhodes. He brings up his dad, just the way he does his promo. Like him and Kevin Owens, the promo battle, he gets it from his loins, man, and just comes up and gives you a strong promo. And then John Cena, in which I saw at 5 in the morning one day, a 7-minute compilation of Cena just tearing up opponents with a promo battle, tearing up Roman, tearing up and destroying Austin Theory's career, and so many others. So, I mean, that promo battle between those two could be amazing.
Cena would end Cody.
Oh, boy.
On the mic. Like, he would. Like, I just don't think... Because here's the thing. Like, there's no way John's... I mean, John would be able to do some of the Doctor of Thugonomics and kind of straddle the line a little bit, but he's not going to be a full-on heel. So, like, the best promo work we've seen out of Cody recently has been because, in his mind, because I still believe Kevin is right, in his mind, Kevin's right. Gone too far, right? Like, Kevin's done all these things and whatever, and that's inspired him to dig deep and be frustrated and upset and angry with somebody who is his former friend and has turned into this heel and turned into this bad guy. Like, Cody wasn't doing his great promo work when he was going up against AJ Styles, or the first time he was going up against Kevin Owens when he's, like, begging KO to take a championship opportunity, right? Right. Like, he needs that strong heel foil, and that's not what Cena is. And Cena will just cook anyone. Like, Cena doesn't care. Like, Cena's going to cook anybody on the microphone. So that's where Cody, I think, could get in trouble if we're talking about a promo battle. I think Cena ends up just cooking him on a microphone.
Let me ask you. So which way would the crowd go? Cena or Rhodes? What do you think? Because you got two baby faces. Two whitey baby faces.
I think Cena.
Wow, booing.
Because the crowd's not necessarily turning on Cody here, but there's probably more people cheering for Kevin Owens than WWE wants. There's probably more people who actually believe that Kevin is right and is siding with Kevin.
This show does.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this show does. But there's like, when they did that Netflix event and like he was getting cheers when he showed up with the winged eagle belt when KO did and everyone was kind of cheering him, like, ooh, ooh, ooh. This got some potential to maybe go away WWE doesn't want. And Cody's certainly still getting those cheers. So I don't want to say the crowd is turning on Cody, because they're not. They're just more people who are siding with Kevin Owens right now and going, Kevin's got some interesting points. Maybe you think he's got some literature? He's got some literature I can go grab on my way out and maybe just kind of read and further think about, you know, some of the points that KO. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, a pamphlet. Yeah. More junk mail that came into the Hood household today.
I'm glad we could use it as a prop during GKW.
That's what I do. You understand that's what I do, right? Yep. I'm just here for jazz hands, bread and circuses, a little fun, and then we wait until next Thursday for more fun. That's what we do.
That's exactly what we do.
So, okay, so because that's, I think the way we're doing this is the right way, Gabe, because since we're looking at Royal Rumble, we're just looking for the best matchup for WrestleMania. So we mentioned Cena. Mm-hmm. And so we mentioned Roman Reigns. What about CM Punk, who wants to be in the main event at WrestleMania? Now, that could be night one or night two. We don't know. Now, here's the
it's
thing.
It's got to be night two. Like, there's no way CM Punk is counting night one as a main event of WrestleMania. He's not doing it.
But if you're at the last match at WrestleMania, night one is still the main event. It is.
Ish.
It, for that night, it is for the
ish.
Night.
No, but it's not but it's not the main event of WrestleMania.
Well, Punk is not in a program that deserves that and won't be by the time we get to WrestleMania.
What does? Okay, what does? What program do you think, I mean, right now would do that?
Well, the Bloodline is the number one thing in the company. Yep. And somehow, some way, the Bloodline will be involved in the main event. Some just kind of solid match with Cody versus someone is not good enough because there's not enough heat to it. Mm-hmm. So the whole thing with the Bloodline, Roman Reigns as quasi-babyface, Heyman quasi-babyface, because if you notice, Heyman was very sweet with his words. And very, as a matter of fact, just so you know, Roman Reigns is entering the Royal Rumble and he's going for your championship. He didn't say it mean, but now it takes the heat off of it because still Bloodline 2.0 is still the issue around here. We like the Usos, we like Roman, but what about Solo and that group? And so I just think CM Punk being in that main event against Cody Rhodes, unless there's a turn happening, babyface versus babyface does not work on night two for WrestleMania. Punk and Rhodes.
No, that doesn't work for me either. So then does Drew McIntyre versus Cody?
Yeah, got to heat it up, don't you? Got to put on the stove and heat it up.
But I think that's got the most potential to get heated up, does it not?
It does. You got time.
Yeah, and Mania's a little bit later. Like, you've got an extra week there. Like, Mania's not as early as it typically is. It's more in the middle of April instead of early April.
Correct.
So you got a little bit more time.
So McIntyre, and you know, he hasn't talked about the world title lately. He's just kind of a in the Hangman Page kind of way where he's just ranting and just going after people and still making a big presence. Drew McIntyre, I'm sure, would like to have be the guy in WWE. And by the way, based on his 2024, I don't know why he can't be deserving of that. I know that maybe he probably cares more about story than being the man in WWE, but still, he's doing great work. And then there's Seth Rollins. What about Seth Rollins? That guy's short, he's getting closer and closer to being a heel and unhinged than we have seen since he's with the Shield.
Has Seth, when's the last time Seth won a big time feud? I know he won the World Heavyweight Championship, but like I think of the big feuds that he's had. He lost all three to Cody Rhodes initially, and maybe you heat that back up of, you know, Cody was able to beat him even though he had a torn pec in Hell in a Cell. And then he just lost. Well, I guess that kind of feels like the beginning of a Fight Forever type thing with CM Punk, but he loses to Punk on the main event of Netflix on Raw, and Punk's trying to leave him behind and move on to, you know, try to main event WrestleMania and declare for the Royal Rumble.
That's Seth and Punk are dance partners. I know that there's this feeling like, well, it was the one-off on Netflix and it's over. It's not over. Seth Rollins still wants a piece of CM Punk, and we saw that whole promo battle between Seth, Punk, and Drew McIntyre. Somebody's got to come out of that as emerging as a winner. And I think that's probably going to be McIntyre if it's a three-way dance.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it makes sense for in terms of the one that I think I would – of the ones that we've listed that have declared for the Royal Rumble, yeah, the one I think I would get most excited about for Cody is Drew McIntyre. I think that's the one I would get excited about the most.
I did say I have six names. We mentioned Cena, Punk, Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, Drew McIntyre. I don't know. You and Brian are just in this belief that The Rock is not going to be involved in WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. And I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I think because the vignette's rolling in my head, Gabe, the vignette of I hug Cody, I did business, I'm a guy from TKO, I didn't do anything, everything was fine. But then the thing that sticks in my head is the next night on NXT, he calls out the Cody Crybabies. It's only because Rock had nothing to say. Let's just
he was nothing
to say on NXT.
He's just dropping F-bombs on network television.
He had nothing to say.
No, they shouldn't have put him out there. Like there was nothing. Like, and then he also, he killed NXT. He called them like with the crowd. He's like, well, I know it's not the easiest to come out, you know, when the big stars aren't here. Like, oh boy.
Oh, wow.
Bud. So like, that's you got to put these guys over, but it wasn't heel Rock.
Yeah. I mean, but he just said something that was mean. And also,
but he didn't realize it. It's not like he leaned into it. He was like, he just kind of happened to be like, yeah, these guys aren't the big stars.
I really believe that The Rock will have something to say at WrestleMania. I do. I think this is Swerve Bro, not Vince Russo, but it's a Swerve Bro where The Rock has some kind of involvement in this, whether it's in the ring or around a match or something like that, because he might have a busy schedule. But remember, he loves wrestling first. And the vignette and spinning in my head is, I just did business because it was the first night of Raw on Netflix, but I think moving forward, The Rock will find his way into the mix. You know, remember when Roman won the Ulafala? We remember Roman and Rock locking eyes. And then while Rock was standing in the corner, it was like, wait a minute, what is The Rock going to do? And he never got on Roman. We thought he was going to hit him from behind. He didn't. I just feel like it's a slow burn to something. Rock will be involved some way, somehow. Is he number 30 at Royal Rumble? Well, he's got to be in there for 3 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, that would be the only thing that makes sense. That would be a hell of a swerve, because in wrestling in 2025, it's hard to have surprises, right? Like, it's hard to be genuinely surprised. Everything gets spoiled on the internet or whatever in 2025. So to swerve so hard and for Hunter and Rock to come together and be like, hey, I'm going to go out there, I'm just going to make it seem like I'm love to be here. Shout out some Netflix executives to try to throw everybody off the scent and then be number 30. Maybe that's how you pull off that surprise, which would be spectacular if they did that. I just, unfortunately, I do not think that that is the case.
I got six guys in the yellow pad, and The Rock is a 5,000-to-1 shot to be able to win this thing. I don't have anyone else outside of that, too. I don't think that they're heating somebody up to be able to be in that spot. It's got to be pretty much the front-facing people that we've seen.
Yeah, that have already declared. Mm-hmm. All right, we've talked about him. John Cena has 30-some-odd dates that he has for WWE. Well, one less because he fulfilled that with his promo on Netflix to open up 2025. Who is a must-have opponent for John Cena on this final run with WWE?
Now, before we talk about this question, I think we should ask, I should ask this question. Gabe Neitzel, whoever John Cena faces, is he crushing that guy's dreams first? Like, if it's some hot, you know, someone that's hot and then he beats them, is he crushing them like he has in his career? Big Match John? Or is he losing that?
I don't know. It depends. I think it all depends. Like, that's the fascinating part to me, is because he hasn't won a singles match in so long. And, like, we all thought he was going to beat Solo. Like, we all thought he was going to beat Solo. He didn't beat Solo. Like, put Solo over. Didn't beat Austin Theory, despite cooking him and ending his career on the mic leading into that match. So, depending upon who it is, I don't think he has to win necessarily. I do think he's going to have an opportunity. I don't know if he'll get that 17th championship that'll ultimately break the, I guess, technically official, you know, record for championships with Ric Flair. But I think he'll get an opportunity to do so. He'll win some matches along the way. But I don't know how long they're going to lean into this. Cena hasn't won a singles match in X amount of time.
Because, you know, why I asked the question. So, say I throw out a match. I say John Cena should take on Sami Zayn. Now, Sami Zayn may win that match, but John Cena may get on a heater and start winning all these matches until his final match, and then he loses, you know, a la Bryan Danielson. That very well could be the case. Like, Sami Zayn, that'd be a great match, because I don't think we've ever seen Cena against Sami Zayn.
I don't think
so. We have. So, John Cena against CM Punk.
So, everybody's that wants to lean into the Cena should go up against Orton because they face each other 1,000 times, you know, in the Ruthless Aggression era. Yeah. Oh, that's John Cena's biggest rival. That's false. Yeah. You know who John Cena's biggest rival was?
Who's that?
Best dance partner was? It was CM Punk.
Yeah.
Like, John had his best matches with Punk. Like, when they went through the Summer of Punk, they had the match in Chicago. I think of that match. I think of the match that they had. It was just on a random Monday Night Raw. When John was getting ready to go up against Dwayne for the championship, and he wrestled Cena for that spot to potentially go up against Rock, and he pulled out the pile driver. It's one of the few times we've seen a pile driver on WWE television that he pulled off with Cena. Like, John's best matches were with CM Punk. I think Punk was his biggest rival. I don't think it was Randy Orton.
And then you say, well, how do we get to that match? See, all this stuff. See, this is why WWE has a good problem, where and this is what Triple H has put together. All these combustible elements, say 8 to 12 wrestlers, Gabe, 8 to 12 wrestlers, and the thorough line of trying to figure out, like, how does this all work? How do you get from one thing to the other, especially in a slow cook organization, a slow cook, slow burn WWE, where it's not like, hey, man, here's a 2-week build to a pay-per-view. Here's a 1-week build. No, this takes time. And I know we got a year to play with, but I hope that we see that match, Cena against Punk, one more time. Mm-hmm. I'd love that.
Yeah, yeah. If we're gonna have a John Cena nostalgic match, Cena versus Punk is the one that makes the most sense. Have those two go back and forth on the microphone again, like that's something I would rather see than Cena versus Randy.
Cena against Logan Paul.
Sure.
Let's go.
Sure.
Sure. Who goes over?
I'd sign up for that.
Who goes over?
I think Cena.
Are you sure? I don't know that.
I think Cena.
I guess. I suppose. I guess so.
I feel like Logan Paul would want to have Cena go over.
You think so?
I do. I think he's got, because he understands the business better than people want to give him credit for.
All right. Cena, Jake Paul. Let's see. Who wants to go
Cena's
over
Cena's got to go over that one. Yeah, Cena's got to go over Jake. Cena's got to go over Jake.
You know that if Cena's going to get his, what is it, 17th championship or whatever the hell it is, that it's not, I don't think it's going to be Cody, but it could be Gunther. That's a title. It is a championship, and it's of the world.
Yep. Yeah, no, it certainly would count. 100% would count. I'm just imagining John taking those chops from Gunther going, why did I do this? I should have just stayed retired.
Yeah.
Just cut a couple promos, gone to the WWE Hall of Fame, made a couple Peacemaker series, more seasons of that, and instead I'm just getting chopped down by this giant European. And my chest just looks like hamburger.
I mean, he could win the championship, but he got to go out on the gurney.
He's paying the price. Yeah. He's going to pay a price for it.
The slow meat wagon as he goes to the back. I mean, that's what's going to happen, man. That's what it is. I mean, if you want, I want to see that match. I want to see that. I want to see
Cena challenged
yes. against Gunther. But the question still stands, though, about some of these wrestlers that Cena would face in his last year. Is he good? Is he mowing through these guys? Because if you mow through these guys, then okay, you lost to a Hall of Famer, fine. But what does that mean for your standing in WWE? You know what I'm saying? Like, he destroyed Austin Theory's career. He did.
Despite losing the match.
Yes. And I don't know if that was the greatest creative for John Cena to say, if I beat you, you're cooked. If you beat me, you're cooked. So he put him in a bad spot, Austin Theory. He's never been able to recover.
No, instead he's in a tag team called A-Town Down Under.
Eric Collins, by the way, says that JBL and Cena, that's Cena's best opponent and wants to see that. Now, JBL is returning to Monday Night Raw just because it's in Texas, I think. But then is JBL ready for another run or another big match? Maybe that could be something on Raw or SmackDown.
Maybe. I mean, JBL, and I was certainly going to mention him here a little bit in news and notes. JBL has been making these random appearances at indie shows and different things and kind of teasing that he's ready to come back and maybe make a run. Maybe JBL versus Cena would be fun. Yeah. If JBL's ready to go. It's been a long time since we've seen JBL in the ring.
And you know, they did have some great matches. They did have some blood feud matches, Cena and JBL. So that could be something. And again, you know, he's got a year to play with. He's got veterans and he's got young wrestlers that he could face. And I think it could be fun. But I think that if Cena's going to win the 17th championship, and by the way, as we do this thing of make believe, if Cena, quote unquote, ties Ric Flair. He doesn't really tie Ric Flair because Ric Flair actually has won the championship 30 times. Yeah. and Jerry Lawler 40 times. So yeah. you might be trying to, quote unquote, surpass Flair's record, but not really. Not really.
No. Let's go ahead and get to news and notes.
What do we got, bro?
This is a big one. This is a big one from today. We're WWE and TNA. They made an announcement today saying that they're going to be continuing a multi-year partnership. And this is straight from the press release, aimed at creating unprecedented crossover opportunities within WWE and TNA programming for NXT superstars and TNA wrestling stars. So basically just kind of formalizing the agreement that they've had. We've seen Jordan Grace, of course, Joe Hendry make appearances on NXT television, and some NXT stars make some appearances over on TNA. So basically this to me, Hood, was we're going to see Joe Hendry in the Royal Rumble. That's what today's announcement was.
They should have had that. They should have had the headline. Then we could have moved on from there. Yeah.
And Joe Hendry has declared for the Royal Rumble.
Sure. I think that's what it should have been. It's what we've already known. The relationship that they've had is just now formalized in a press release, which is great. So we will get NXT stars that will go to TNA and vice versa. And we've already seen that with Charlie Dempsey and others have been able to do that crossover thing. So it's fine. Obafemi against Moose. There's your dream match right there.
Cool.
Or Nick Nemeth going back to TNA. I'm sorry, going back to NXT to take on someone. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, was he not in NXT for a minute? Was he NXT champion?
He briefly was NXT champion. Like, he went down just to put – I can't remember who he was putting over, but he went down, won the championship, and put someone over. I can't remember who off the top of my head. I'm sure somebody will chime in the chat here and refresh our memories. But yeah, this is to me something that makes plenty of sense. And again, it's just more of a formalized agreement as they make this announcement, and they're going to work together going forward.
TNA won't die, brother. It won't die.
No.
See, it will not. Because I know you're probably wondering, like, in the back of your mind, like, why, right? It's because TNA's got good wrestlers. They just don't have enough U.S. acclaim television-wise. But internationally, they do well. And they're going to have some big crowds.
Which is great.
In 2024. But I know, like, the minority of U.S. fans are not watching enough of it. But the whole
I don't have access TV, so I can't be watching it. Yeah. But also, like, I want it to thrive. Like, this to me, that announcement's a good announcement for wrestling. If you are a fan of professional wrestling, and I know Matt Cardona was on the Ariel Helwani show, just kind of like pounding the drum of like, why the hell does everybody have to be so tribalistic when it comes to pro wrestling? Like, AEW is great for pro wrestling. Like, you should be wanting all these places to succeed because that just gives more opportunities for pro wrestlers and great pro wrestling stories. And that's what this announcement does to me. Like, it strengthens TNA. Like, so yeah, that's great. That's great for the professional wrestling business. That's great if you're a pro wrestling fan. Like, I don't want TNA to die.
No, and it just continues to live. It's great. They're thriving. And they're going to have a great 2025, sounds like.
Sticking with WWE, Bad Bunny, who just wrapped up a new album, apparently that was released this week, making a case that he wants to be a full-time heel in WWE. He wants to have another match. Triple H tweeting out today that he had just listened to the latest Bad Bunny album, saying, hey, I'm here when you want to talk. This is going to happen. I don't know if it's going to be just another one-off. But look, I think we're all looking forward to whenever Bad Bunny has another match in WWE.
I have a GoFundMe for you and your wife to go to Puerto Rico if that match happens. if we're gonna get Bad Bunny, they say, against Logan Paul, is what I want to see. Let's go.
Yep. Yeah, sign me up. Do it in Puerto Rico. Sell it out. Take all of our money.
I'm all for Bad Bunny back in the ring. A heel, you're not going to get a heel run. People love you, Bad Bunny. Don't do that.
They're going to cheer him. Like, Bad Bunny can't be a heel. Like, you're the most popular, you're the most streamed artist worldwide. You're not going to be a heel. Sorry, pal. It's just not the way this works. GCW going to be at Hammerstein Ballroom in New York this week, which is going to have the debut of the artist formerly known as Baron Corbin, going now by the name Tom Pestock, as he takes on Josh Barnett in a Bloodsport rules match. It also going to feature Matt Cardona taking on a mystery opponent at Hammerstein Ballroom in New York.
It's really funny that GCW and TNA Genesis are going to be on the same night. So I'll cover that and bring it back, and we'll review it on Thursday. I'm going to have to watch both for GKW, but yeah, they're both on the same night. When I first saw the poster I gave of Josh Barnett and Baron Corbin, and I saw Tom Pestock, I go, oh, that's an unfortunate name. Your real name, Tom Pestock. I saw it's that, tough. And I was like, oh, that's a tough name. Like, oh, geez.
We got to do something about that, Tom. We got to come up with something better.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tom Pestock. Who's that?
Who?
Hello. That's like, and it's Baron Corbin out there being smooth and silky in the ring. So yeah, he doesn't have a second act as far as a wrestling name. So he's going with his real name for that. Look, good for him, by the way, because he will thrive in the indies.
Speaking of you, we were just talking about Logan Paul. Paul Heyman was on his Impulsive podcast. Did you see how much of a psychopath Paul Heyman is?
No.
Did you see this?
I did not.
So Paul Heyman started telling the story of when the night he was powerbombed and taken out by the New Bloodline. Mm-hmm. And he looked so disheveled. He looked, you know, just not himself. He just looked so frazzled. Well, the reason why is because he deprived himself of sleep. He decided that he was going to eat anything and anything that would be bad for him to try to make him like it more upset. Didn't shave for days, wore an ill-fitting suit on purpose, but was like sleeping like an hour or less. Like, he going into that show, I think he said he had like 40 minutes of sleep because he wanted to appear disheveled and actually be disheveled going into that show to further sell how upset and distraught he was over his tribal chief Roman Reigns not being around and the stress that he was under with the regime led by Solo Sikoa.
That's wonderful. That's someone that understands the assignment, right?
Just a psychopath, and I love
it. That's
what
it is. Yeah, you got to love it, man. He's that guy to a T, because someone, I'm sure, in the back when he came through catering or going through the back is like, Paul, you look sick. You all right? Oh, I'm fine. There's no problem. And so I'm sure that people were concerned, like, maybe check his blood pressure. Maybe he shouldn't be in there. He looks ill. And it was great because everyone bought it. Look at his eyes. Look how he's looking. How slow he
talked
looks.
About great. Like, because usually he dyes like his hair.
Yeah.
So he was like putting the stuff in there to have the dye come out. So more of the grays were shining through to make him look like more aged, more stressed. Like he thought of everything and just absolutely nailed it because he's Paul Heyman.
See, so he knows what the hell he's doing. So that I think great job by Paul. He's crazy, but we love him.
And finally, in news and notes, this has kind of been a big one all week. So Corey Graves had tweeted out some things earlier this week on Monday, talking about how he was upset because he wasn't famous enough. He had this dream to be a professional wrestler. That was taken away from him because of the doctors. And then he decides to dedicate and throw himself in to being, you know, in his dream adjacent and be a broadcaster, be really a good broadcaster, but then be told you're not famous enough. And he's been demoted to NXT. Initially, those tweets come out, and he also says, hey, and I'm going to have a lot to say Tuesday night, NXT on CW. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, this is a work. They're going to be doing something. Well, he was pulled from the broadcast. He was pulled from the broadcast, was not a part of the broadcast on the CW, has since deleted the tweets. And the other interesting thing here, Hood, is that one of these, I'm assuming one of the guys he was tweeting at would be Pat McAfee, mm-hmm. who will be unavailable for Monday Night Raw because of his ESPN responsibilities with the national championship game happening on the same night, this upcoming Monday. So he's not going to be a part of that broadcast team. I don't know who is. Corey Graves obviously would make sense as that substitute. However, Corey Graves, don't know if this is a work, don't know if it's a shoot, have no idea what's going on. What do you think is up with Corey Graves?
Okay, so anytime that you put on social media that I've got a lot to say, as a third man in the booth on NXT, mm-hmm. does that mean that he was going to get his own mic time to explain? Because if you're doing play-by-play or if you're doing color, no one's going to put a camera on you to talk. It's just a show, mm-hmm. right? It's the wrestling. It's the storylines. You're not the storyline, so why do you tweet that out? It is a work. And that's my prediction, because a few months ago, I saw him working out with his brother, Sam Adonis, who is a mega wrestler in Mexico. And they were working out just in the ring, just like Corey's just going through hip lock, takedown, side headlocks and drop kicks and all that stuff. So Corey, who has not been in the ring because of a lot of head injuries, I think he's working his way back into a WrestleMania match against Pat McAfee. I think that that's where they're going with this. Now, here's the thing. It's been such a long time to the point where I've got to go back and research what Corey Graves was like as a wrestler. It's been mm-hmm. so long. I don't even know what his specialty was. I know he's a decent promo, but I don't know what he did. So that's some research that I think I've got to do. But I think that, you know, I could see on Monday night where it's Cole, and then all of a sudden here comes Graves out of nowhere, and he's just trashing McAfee the entire time back in the booth. I don't think it's real. I don't. I feel like they're trying to ramp up Corey to be back in the ring. That's what I think. One-off, by the way.
But wouldn't they have mentioned it on the broadcast? Like, oh, yeah, Corey Graves tweeted out things, so he was suspended tonight. Something seems off. Something seems a little bit off, and maybe it eventually becomes a work, and you're shooting, and now it becomes a work. Who knows in the world of professional wrestling? And as we've said before, if you can't take those real-life issues and turn it into money, then what are we even doing? I think you should be able to turn this into money, but I have no idea. I understand if he'd be frustrated, but also you probably can't just tweet that out when you're still working for that company. So we'll have to wait and see what actually happens with Corey Graves.
Didn't you think like I thought that when McAfee came back to Raw that we would see Corey Graves is a third man on SmackDown?
Yeah, and why is he a third man on NXT? Just make him a third guy on SmackDown with Barrett and because I wouldn't say Wade Barrett's not necessarily. I don't think he's like a heel announcer.
He is not. He is not. He's just solid. Just very solid. Yeah, very good.
He's just solid. So then, like, there's room in that booth with Tess and Barrett to have that heel announcer that Graves is. So
it's funny that it's viewed as a demotion for Corey Graves. But I feel like the last time I saw him broadcast, he didn't say a lot. There might have been some frustration. Maybe it's real, maybe it's not. But the point is, though, is I think this will end up being a story. Otherwise, Corey Graves is throwing his career away, and I don't think that's the case. I don't. Like, it's always a work, brother. It's a work.
What were your matches of the week, Hood?
Penta Gable, Neitzel. And yep. That'll be all for GKW this week. So long, everyone. There's more.
I like Kenny versus Cage. I thought that was a very nice return match for Kenny Omega in AEW.
I thought, and we need to look at this, Gabe. In the McMahon era, we didn't have the great classic Raws on a regular basis. Priest and Balor, it's got to be
really good.
Over the last 10 years, with these short matches at 50 after, a little bit of an overrun, but not great. I mean, but this is really pay-per-view quality for a Raw. Not since Kofi Orton have we – I mean, Shelton Benjamin, Shawn Michaels. Mm-hmm. There's been, like, really quality matches on Raw. But for a Raw match, that's right. It's got to be in top tier, right?
Yeah, I wrote it down. It was spectacular. I'm hoping that's the end of the feud and everybody moves on. And it looks like there's going to be some inner turmoil going on within Judgment Day. And it looks like Judgment Day is probably going to be ending relatively soon. But I thought that was a fantastic match. I was right there with you. I also enjoyed the Women's Casino Gauntlet from last night. I think that the men's match Brian and I talked about that last week, the men's match from the previous week, like the Casino Gauntlet's just an interesting concept for a match that I enjoy. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was really cool. I thought the women's Casino Gauntlet, I thought delivered last night.
I liked them. I liked everything I saw in that ring. That is for sure. With that women's casino, because everyone was believable that they could have won the match. Every one of them that was in there, I thought they had a chance to win. And it ends up being Toni Storm, the young upstart from AEW.
Oh, the young upstart, rookie, potential for rookie of the year. I mean, rookie going down to Australia, championship opportunity for the rookie three-time AEW women's champ.
I know I was not on the show on Thursday because of my travel, but I did say on Busted Open on my Sunday show that I thought that Powerhouse Hobbs should have beat Moxley in 60 seconds to shake things up. I did. Just out of nowhere, like boom, right? I thought that that's what it should happen. But I thought that the match for what it was is great. Just, again, you know that's a numbers game. You know that Hobbs doesn't have a lot of people behind him. So, but I thought for what it was, Hobbs has had two terrific matches. He had the one match against Moxley and then Takeshita. That's not how he said it.
Takeshita,
yes. Another great match for Hobbs. So I thought that that match, the main event, delivered on Dynamite.
Yeah, but the matches were good. Continuity, not great. But that's what we've come to expect, unfortunately, from AEW right now. Make sure you check us out if you haven't before. If you're watching us on social media, check out our YouTube page, full interviews with a lot of the great guests we've had in the past. YouTube.com/@GoodKarmaWrestling. It's been a fun week. Been a little bit of a longer show. Plenty of things that we're going to have to dive into, dissect as we get ready for Saturday night's main event, the Royal Rumble, AEW with everything they've got going on with Grand Slam, getting ready for Revolution. One place to talk about it, we're going to do it right here next week on GKW.